The epistle is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In the former book, O Theophilus, I spoke of all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day on which he was taken up, after he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, during 40 days appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And while eating with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard, said he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They, therefore, who had come together began to ask him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the very ends of the earth. When he had said this, he was lifted up before their eyes, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing up to heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, and said to them, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This Jesus, whom has been taken up from you into heaven, shall come in the same way as you have seen him going up to heaven. The gospel is taken from that of St. Mark. At that time, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were at table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and hardness of heart, in that they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, Go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. And these signs shall attend those who believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall get well. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the preaching by the signs that followed. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Let us begin this sermon with the Hail Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The River Jordan is situated along the eastern border of Israel. It's the border, the boundary of the Promised Land. It's a natural barrier in between the desert and the Promised Land, sort of like this altar rail is the natural barrier between the sanctuary and the nave of the church. This was the site of an event that took place, a miraculous event that took place in 900 BC. Elias, or Elijah, the prophet, had concluded his time on earth, and he headed toward the River Jordan. He was accompanied by Eliseus, or Elisha, another younger prophet, his disciple. Both prophets knew that Elias would be departing from them, and Elias asked Eliseus if he wanted anything of him before he was taken up from the face of the earth. Well, Eliseus had one request. He said to Elias, I beseech thee, that in me may be double thy spirit. That is, may I have a double portion of the Spirit of God which is in you. So Elias answered, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken up from thee, thou shalt have what thou hast asked. But if thou see me not, thou shalt not have it. So they kept on going with that condition in mind. The condition for Eliseus receiving the double portion of the spirit of Elias was that he had to keep his eye on Elias. He had to keep focused on Elias. Well, as they approached the Jordan River, Elias took his cloak from his shoulders and he struck the waters of the Jordan with it. In the sight of 50 witnesses, the waters immediately parted and Elias and Eliseus walked through the midst on dry ground with the waters on either side. After this, as they were walking, a great fiery chariot came in between them, and Elias was taken up by a whirlwind into heaven. Eliseus saw Elias as he was taken up into heaven, and Eliseus had done as Elias had said. He kept his eye on Elias as he departed from his sight. Well, Eliseus picked up the cloak, and he went back to the River Jordan, which is back to normal now. And within the sight of those 50 witnesses, the other 50 prophets who had gathered there, at the edge of the River Jordan, Eliseus took the cloak, and as Elias had done, he struck the waters, and nothing happened. But then he invoked the name of the Lord, and then he struck the waters, and the waters parted again, and he walked through the midst of the waters on dry ground. Well, it's quite an interesting story, with some similarities to the Exodus that we've heard about. But what does it have to do with Ascension Thursday? We'll explain that in a moment. Today, we're going to honor, and we do honor, our Lord's ascension into heaven. Recall that at the Last Supper, our blessed Lord, when he spoke of his approaching departure into heaven, he said to his apostles, "It is expedient for you that I go." Now, why would it be expedient for the apostles, for us as disciples, that he go from our presence? Wouldn't it be better if we could see him as we see this statue of our blessed Lord right here, so that we could easily approach him? But no, he said, "It is expedient that I go." Well, the great 17th century scriptural commentator, Father Cornelius a Lapide, explains why it was better that our Lord depart. Father Lapide shows that the apostles make a mistake in wanting our Lord not to depart from their visible presence. And his departure is actually most beneficial to them. And this is the reason for this is because it'll result in the sending of the Holy Ghost. The Paraclete, the Consoler, will fill them with every virtue and joy. Well, St. Augustine and St. Gregory the Great mentioned that with the departure of our blessed Lord's bodily presence, the apostles, until our Lord bodily departed from them, the apostles were not capable of receiving the Holy Ghost. They were too attached to his natural presence, his physical presence among them, as he was walking the hills of Judea. They were too attached to that. For this reason, our blessed Lord had to visibly depart from their presence, so that they would be wholly intent on receiving the Holy Ghost when he should come. The Holy Ghost is a spirit, okay? You can't see a spirit. And this spirit would be able to work in the apostles if they weren't looking into another person for that spirit. In fact, this Holy Ghost then inspired the works of the apostles, giving them such zeal that they went out into the whole world, converting all those people to the Catholic faith. With our blessed Lord in his body visibly gone from them, our Lord would find a new body in which he could live, the mystical body of Christ, the members of his church. Notice, however, that although our Lord left the apostles' presence visibly, he remained in a hidden manner with them, as he does with us today. He remained with them in the real presence of the most blessed sacrament, our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, right here, present among us, and in the mere appearance of bread and wine. On top of this, he added another gift to them, another gift which the world did not know while our Lord the earth. This gift was the Holy Ghost. In this way, by departing visibly from the apostles, he could make them look for the presence of God in two places that they did not have before: the Holy Eucharist, our blessed Lord, and in the indwelling of the Holy Ghost in each soul that is in the state of sanctifying grace. What an incredible gift to have the Consoler, the Holy Ghost, dwelling in each one of his temples, not just in Jerusalem, But in the temples of our bodies, if we've received the grace of baptism, what a huge grace. What a great, great privilege for us. After the ascension, God can be looked for in two ways, but in every place on earth. In every place, that is, where the real presence resides, and in every place where there are souls in the state of sanctifying grace. We can look for that blessed Lord in a worthy reception of Holy Communion as we approach this natural barrier, like the River Jordan. Our blessed Lord comes to meet us from beyond, from the promised land, from heaven. We approach him at the brink, from outside the promised land, and he comes to meet us, to give us our food for the way, that we may be sustained spiritually. He also comes to us in another way, a way which many people don't know. And this is that second way, the Holy Ghost indwelling in our souls. Think about this reality. We have a divine guest within us if we're in the state of grace. A divine guest. How much time do we take to speak to that guest, to entertain him? I've been to some of y'all's houses, and you know, y'all are very, very entertaining, very, very courteous. The hospitality is very overwhelming, you know, and I appreciate that. And that's how we entertain guests, right? We give them hospitality. But think about this reality. We have our blessed Lord dwelling in us. We're in the state of sanctifying grace. Do we ever pause to consider that reality? Do we ever pause to ponder our blessed Lord within us? Do we ever pause to make prayer to our blessed Lord? That's the second way we encounter our Lord. First in Holy Communion, and then the Holy Ghost in mental prayer. This is so important to us. It's so important. Remember that just after promising the apostles that he would send them the Holy Ghost, our blessed Lord said to them, "If you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." When he was finished speaking with the apostles, they left the upper room, and then they crossed the river Kedron, entering the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was taken from their presence. Now recall the story of Elias and Eliseus. Like our Lord to his apostles at the Last Supper, Elias likewise told Eliseus to ask anything of him. And Eliseus asked for the double spirit, huh? Well, our Lord also crossed a river, not the River Jordan, but the River Kedron, just before being taken from his apostles' presence, just as Elias and Eliseus crossed the Jordan, just before Elias was taken from their presence. And like Elias, who left his disciple, Eliseus, a double portion of his spirit as he departed from his presence, so our blessed Lord left his disciples a double portion of his spirit. That is, the presence of God in two forms. God the Son in the most blessed sacrament, and God the soul to indwell in our souls, or God the Holy Ghost, I'm sorry, to indwell in our own souls. In the state, when we're in the state of sanctifying grace. Remember, though, the condition for receiving that double spirit. Remember, Eliseus had to keep his eye on Elias. And in the same way, we have to stay focused on our Lord. We have to stay focused on his commandments. We have to stay united to his church. We have to stay united to him. This is how we keep our focus on our Lord. This is how we can receive that double portion of the Spirit of our Lord. The Holy Ghost in mental prayer, focusing in on him, keeping an eye on him, praying every day. I want to make a challenge to you all. I know some have been already given this challenge, some of the youngsters around here, but I want to give you all this challenge. You have, if you're in the state of grace, you have the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. What I want to challenge you to do is every day welcome your divine guest. Now, how hard is that, huh? Take 5 minutes a day for mental prayer. That's not too much time. Do the math and figure out the percentage of that of your day. It's not much, huh? But 5 minutes of mental prayer with that divine guest that you have with you all the time, that you're in the state of sanctifying grace. No mortal sin on the soul. That's what drives him out. Stay in the state of sanctifying grace. Spend 5 minutes a day in mental prayer. Is that too much of an investment for your eternity? Think about how much and how hard you all work for your retirement, which you know is going to end when you die, when the end of the world comes for you at your death. How hard do we work for natural retirement, for natural gains? How much is it worth to spend 5 minutes a day, huh, for your eternal retirement? Put some stock in your eternal retirement. That stock does not go down as long as we stay in the state of grace. St. Ambrose said, speaking of Elias and Eliseus, he said that in a manner, Elias sends down on the earth more grace than he takes up into heaven. And although he is translated bodily into the heavens, still he leaves with his spiritual son greater sanctity. So Eliseus, the disciple of Elias, received that greater sanctity because he stayed with him as he crossed the Jordan. He stayed with him and kept his eyes focused on him even as he was taken up into heaven. So the apostles stayed focusing on our Lord as he went up into heaven. Stay focused on the blessed Lord. He has ascended into heaven. The candle has been extinguished, the Paschal candle, showing the visible, a symbol of the visible presence of our Lord among us. That candle's been extinguished. But another lamp remains burning, the sanctuary lamp, showing that our Lord remains among us. He's ascended into heaven, but he's here. He's right here. How often do we seek his presence in the Blessed Sacrament to console him, he who has sent us the Consoler? Even if we can't make it to church, we can seek out the presence of the Holy Ghost, the Consoler, indwelling in us when we're in the state and the sanctifying grace by making mental prayer 5 minutes a day, by pausing a little each day to give the Holy Ghost, our divine guest within us, the attention he deserves. He is gone, but he is here. May Our Lady of the Rosary, Our Lady of Fatima, especially today on the anniversary of her first apparition, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.